Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends. May I begin today with a question. What do you believe the reputation of Jesus is in your city? How do the people of your city feel about Jesus, Christianity, the Bible, church-going people, or people who call themselves Christians? And then this question. How available in your city are things of the occult, like palm readers, or seances, or channeling encounters with the dead? What level of fascination or interest is there in your city for things of the dark kingdom or the demonic? Join me, please, in Acts 13 today as we travel with Barnabas, Saul, and their helper John Mark, leaving the great city of Antioch, sent by the Holy Spirit and the wonderful, multi-ethnic, dynamic church in Antioch, to take the gospel of Jesus to people who did not know Jesus. Acts 13 verse 4 says, they sailed to Cyprus, the island off the coast of Israel, and home to Barnabas. Luke writes, when they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. Remember, please, Saul was a former Pharisee, well educated in the Jewish holy books and traditions. The synagogue was probably the place Saul felt most at home, most comfortable. Opening the Torah and other Jewish holy books and teaching from them in the comfort of the synagogue for Saul was like putting a golf fanatic at Augusta National, or a baseball fan at Yankee Stadium, or a tennis fan at Wimbledon, or a soccer fan at the final match for the World Cup, or an artist at the Louvre, or a musician in Carnegie Hall. Yes, Saul was right at home in those synagogues, but what Saul proclaimed in those Jewish synagogues was radical. Saul's message was simple, yet profoundly complex and outright confrontational. Saul claimed that Jesus of Nazareth is the Jewish Messiah. His death and resurrection provide salvation by faith in Jesus to any and all persons who repent of their sins and trust in Jesus only. That was shocking news. To Jews in these synagogues, Saul's teaching was both fascinating and offensive. Because of his pedigree and his vast training, Saul was normally given a fair hearing with respect. But over and over, Saul's experience was that it didn't take long, and the more senior Jews in any synagogue raised objections to what Saul was saying, and eventually opposed him, and then finally ran him out of town, declaring him to be a traitor to God and Judaism. Luke tells us Barnabas, Saul, and John Mark traveled through the whole island of Cyprus until they came to Paphos. There, they met a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet named Bar-Jesus, who was an attendant of the proconsul Sergius Paulus. The proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God, but Elymas the sorcerer opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Acts 13, 6-8. What do you see here, my friends? Saul had begun his missionary work in comfortable places, synagogues. Religious people gather in synagogues for the purpose of discussing religious ideas. So it was very appropriate for Saul to speak the gospel of Jesus there in the synagogues. But here we have a politician, a well-educated attorney, who asks for a private meeting to hear Saul's gospel. This is now a new audience, and Barnabas and Saul go to meet Mr. Sergius Paulus at his invitation, and probably at his home. Does Luke's description of the presence of a sorcerer stir up memories in your mind? Remember, when Philip took the gospel of Jesus into Samaria, there was a sorcerer named Simon who was quite famous and became fascinated by Philip's preaching and his miracles. Simon was eventually confronted by Peter in Acts chapter 8. Now here on Cyprus Island, the gospel encounters another sorcerer, Elymas, who is advisor to the proconsul. I wonder if you remember, the Pharaoh of Egypt had sorcerers who advised him and actually duplicated some of the first miracles Moses and Aaron performed, Exodus 7 and 8. And then King Nebuchadnezzar had sorcerers who advised him and interpreted his dreams in the days of Daniel. Remember, Daniel chapter 2. My friends, I wonder if there are sorcerer-type people advising the most important people of your city or your nation. What are these sorcerers? They are people who seek advice from the spirit world, especially the dark spirit world, demons, and Satan himself. They may go by the name diviners, or channelers, or palm readers, or spiritists, or witches, or in the country where I grew up as a boy, they were called Hunga and Mambo. They are people involved in the occult. Do these dark spirits have wisdom or power that can actually be transferred to these people seeking contact with them? Oh yes, my friends. Satan and his kingdom of fallen angels are very, very powerful. Remember, Pharaoh's sorcerers duplicated Moses' miracles to begin with, and Simon in Samaria had amazed people for many years with his miracles. So it's not difficult for us to understand why an important government official on Cyprus Island would want a sorcerer helping him. I wonder how many modern sorcerers are advising kings and presidents and prime ministers and university presidents and big business leaders and big tech giants in 2021. Look closely, my friends, at the confrontation between Saul and Elymas the sorcerer, who was trying to deter Sergius Paulus the proconsul from believing the gospel of Jesus, which Saul was presenting to him. Luke writes, Saul, who was called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now, the hand of the Lord is against you, and you are going to be blind. For a time you will be unable to see the light of the sun. And immediately mist and darkness came over him, and Elymas groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord Jesus. Did you notice something Luke barely mentions, but is very significant? Saul changed his name to Paul here. Many Bible scholars believe his full name was Saul Paulus of Tarsus. The name Saul was undoubtedly given to him by his parents in honor of Israel's first king, Saul. Paulus was a fairly common name in Roman-educated circles, which suggested one who searches for wisdom and leadership. The Cyprus proconsul's name was Sergius Paulus. We don't know exactly why, but from this moment on, for the rest of his life, Saul was known as Paul. Most Christian literature refers to him as the Apostle Paul. He was not one of the original 12 disciples, but he meets the qualifications for apostle because he was personally called by Jesus to be his disciple on the road to Damascus. Remember Acts chapter 9? He was personally trained by Jesus through the Holy Spirit in those 3 years, as he mentions in Galatians chapter 1, and he was personally commissioned to his apostle role by Jesus in Acts chapter 9. Now Luke wants us to understand Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit. It's the same language Luke uses when Peter addresses the Sanhedrin religious leaders who angrily challenged him to explain how the crippled man was healed. Acts 4:8. It means a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit in power came upon Paul as he confronted the sorcerer who was empowered by demonic forces. It's a power confrontation. The Holy Spirit in Paul versus the demons in the sorcerer. Have you ever witnessed such a thing or perhaps been personally involved in such a power confrontation? This same filling of the Holy Spirit is available to any and every authentic follower of Jesus Christ, my friends. It is not reserved only for pastors or missionaries or super spiritual people. Such a fresh anointing of the Spirit of God is normally given by God to a follower of Jesus when unusual spiritual power is needed in a particular situation. Do you see why Paul struck Elymas with blindness? Paul's description of this deceptive behavior of Elymas was direct and detailed. Deceptive influence on others is a work of the dark kingdom, of Satan himself. Do you see dark forces at work in the educational system of your country as young children are prevented from hearing God's truth and are being taught deceptive distortions about the origin of the universe, for instance, or the God-assigned gender of a person? Do you see the high-profile global entertainers advocating the deception of lifestyles totally contrary to God-honoring lifestyles? Do you see politicians passing laws which impose upon citizens and businesses and schools deceptive untruths which actually erode the integrity of family and society? This, my friends, is why Paul, filled and led by the Holy Spirit, took such a strong stand against Elymas, the sorcerer advisor to the Cypriot proconsul. Who is the Paul in our day, in your city or your country, taking strong stands against those doing what Elymas was doing? Let's just pause right here, my friends, and think deeply about these very important truths. Are you protecting your mind and heart, your family, from the influence of the Elymas of our day in your part of the world? Is anyone confronting, in the power of the Holy Spirit, the demonically empowered Elymas of our day where you live? I invite you to give this serious thought and prayer and ask God to guide you to understand the reality of this in your world, in our day.